In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Deadlines cause fear, anxiety, and exhaustion. Fear that the deadline won't be met. Anxiety causing you to feel paralyzed, making it impossible to accomplish your task. Exhaustion because more exertion is necessary to finish the task on time. Jesus warns us of a coming deadline, the end of the world. Christians throughout history have often been fascinated by the end of the world, when it will happen, what are the signs, and what it will be like. There are entire magazines, organizations, and books dedicated to answer the question of when it will happen. Although Jesus clearly tells us that no one knows. It seems like every generation, ever since the early Christians even, have thought to themselves, oh man, this time is it. Jesus is definitely coming back soon. Perhaps even in the next 5 years, there's just so much wickedness going on. Well, and if you've never read or watched the Left Behind series, you know the end of the world has left lots of people in fear, anxiety, and exhaustion from the deadline to come. That is the end of the world. In our gospel text, Jesus gives us four sets of commands with the consummation of the age on the horizon. He encourages us As a brief aside, each gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all write their gospel with different emphasis and themes. Luke, the one who wrote the text this morning, has two main emphases. One, Jesus journeying to Jerusalem. And two, Jesus catechizes or teaches his disciples along the way towards Jerusalem, towards Golgotha, towards the cross. Luke's theme of catechesis comes into play in this text, both here in the parable of the fig tree and later. Here, Jesus encourages his disciples to remember their catechesis, to remember Jesus' miracles, death, resurrection, to be prepared for the final consummation when the Son of Man comes. But why remember his teaching? Why is that important? Consider what Jesus says next. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Simply put, the only thing from this existence you can take with you is what Jesus teaches you. That's why his teaching is so important. It's everything. His comforting word of forgiveness, his story in scripture, his words that he created the world with, his words he attached to bread, wine, and water. These words give forgiveness, life, and salvation, and deliverance from God's wrath to sin. We live in a world where people are increasingly hungry for things which are eternal. Truth that stands the test of time. That truth is Jesus' words, Jesus' teaching, and the gospel story about his death and resurrection. We have a great gift, folks. Eternity reaches our ears every Sunday. Just think about that. And this is how Jesus prepares us for eternity. By giving us bits of eternity every week, every day, if we'd have it. In the text, many people are confused about who Jesus refers to as this generation in verse 32. However, it refers to the continuing line of unbelievers, those who continually reject the word of God. This generation is referred to in Luke 17:25 as those rejecting Jesus. But here in Luke 21, this generation is broader in scope. It includes not only those who reject Jesus, but also the prophets before Christ, and the apostles and pastors after Christ. This generation, referring to sinners, will remain among us here on earth, continuing their work of rejecting Jesus, his word, and his teachings until the consummation of the age, and the heavens and earth will pass away. In this lies judgment and wrath of sin, because they've not been catechized with Jesus' eternal, life-giving word. But for Christians, we have Christ's divine promise that his catechesis, his words, will remain forever. And all of us who have Christ's word will remain forever too. So for those who have the word of God upon their lips and hearts, who look to the word of God crucified on the cross as the source of their salvation and atonement for sin, and know that this act of love is for them, they will not be like this generation of those who reject Jesus. Christians, having God's word, will be comforted by these signs, not anxious. They'll not cower in fear, but stand with eyes gazing into heaven in joy and excitement and anticipation. They'll finally reach their place of rest, which is with God for all eternity. Salvation draws near. Jesus gives a couple of words of warning for his disciples and for us too. He tells us to watch, stay awake. Previously, Jesus taught his disciples to beware of false teachers who offer false catechesis. But here, Christ tells us to beware of the ordinary cares of life that cloud awareness of his return. Beware of weighing ourselves down with distractions to merely pass the time. As catechumens of Christ and his word, we are called to avoid those kinds of ordinary, distracting things. Remember Jesus teaching about the sower and the seed? How the sower throws the seed and it falls on all different kinds of soil, resulting either in growth or death. The seed among the thorns are, quote, choked by the anxieties, riches, and pleasures of this life. Don't be that kind of seed, where you're being choked out of God's word by the ordinary things of life, things which are fast fleeting and offer no real hope and comfort for what the future brings. Rather, Jesus tells us to be watchful by praying for help in times of distress. But the problem is that we don't think we know what to pray for. But Jesus answers this in verse 36. Strength to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man. We pray for this strength because we don't have the strength necessary to flee from the judgment of sin. This is why Jesus' catechesis and his word is so important to us. To give forgiveness and deliverance from sin. Sin which listens to a different teacher. Continue, though, to hear the words of your great teacher and his merciful, loving, forgiving word will straighten you up and keep you awake for his final coming. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.